It's time for CPR with Aidan Assist.
Aidan.
Gong Xi Fa Chai.
Indeed, Gong Xi Fa Chai.
Happy Chinese New Year.
Thank you.
So, it sounds like we're always going to be fairly busy celebrating it over the next week or so.
Who knows how to make the most of civic events as
well?
Yeah,
well, we're celebrating it tonight as well because, as I've mentioned in previous broadcasts, my wife is Indian but from Malaysia. Chinese New Year is obviously a very big thing in Malaysia, so every year we actually gather together as a sort of an extended family and celebrate Chinese New Year as well. So, looking forward to it tonight.
Cool.
Before we dive into the main substance for today, which is taking a look at a rather remarkable collection of essays I picked up last year, I wanted to at least reference what's going on in the National Party, obviously, with the National Party leadership change.
Oh, I thought you would want to talk about the Jacinda Ardern Vogue shoot. No. Sorry, carry on.
Well, good on her for that as well. Mm. Yeah, look, I think, Bill English is going to be, in many respects, a tough act to follow. He really impressed me on the campaign trail. And I think he managed to marry quite a tough campaigner with a real mastery of a lot of the facts as far as his sort of finance minister portfolio days go. And he's going to be a tough person to replace. And have you been following the candidates who've come forward to say, yes, we'll take the National Party on their journey from opposition to government next time?
A little bit.
So, you know,
Judith Collins.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got some sort of, you know, interesting, Collins is an interesting one, obviously sort of going for the Thatcherite, sort of Muldoonist, you know, I will decapitate all who stand in my way approach. I haven't heard a media release from her yet which hasn't basically said, I am tough, I know how to win, I've been in opposition before and I know how to get us out of there. And it's a wonderful rally to the troops. And she's also sent a very not-so-subtle message to the backbenchers that if she is actually backbench National MPs, that if she is actually made the leader, she will have a bit of a clean-out of the people at the top and bring some more people forward. So that'll be interesting politically as a sort of plays out. Simon Bridges, obviously a young MP who is talking very much about generational change, potentially the first Māori leader for the National Party, which would be interesting for them. So far his main argument seems to be the use of his name in third person as often as possible in interviews, but I haven't had a lot of substance. But Amy Adams, I think, could be a really formidable leader. And
Dan is curious about Amy Adams. Tell Dan about her.
Well, I think that she could represent the future of a National Party in that she was a very successful corporate lawyer for most of her professional life. So she understands the urban setting, she understands law, she understands how to draft policy exceptionally well. She was a Minister of Justice, which is a tough portfolio to carry. And by all accounts, whether you're of the left or the right, I think it's generally acknowledged that she's done a very good job with the portfolio she's carried. But in more recent years, she's been married to a farmer and she's representing the electorate of Selwyn. And so she's got really deep roots in the rural community and knows what they're going through as well. So in addition to urban background, lawyer, rural background, farmer, there's a third plank to her as a potential candidate for leader, and that's the fact that she is a socially moderate MP. So, and she comes across as sort of being, you know, charismatic in a very low-key, effortless way. So,
that's how we like our charisma here in New Zealand.
We do. We're not particularly fond of the everything is terrific kind of brand of charisma down under. So, I actually think, and even the way she launched the campaign, I thought, this is a campaign launched by someone who actually knows how to launch a campaign. She went out to the, you know, rather beautiful garden in front of the Beehive. She took along four MPs, two from the Conservative faction of the party, two from the more socially liberal faction of the party, including Chris Bishop, which was an interesting choice given some recent news. But nonetheless, she campaigned. I thought that was a wonderful launch of a campaign. The other two, you know, Collins on Twitter, Bridges sort of standing by himself on a bridge, whether it's meant to be a metaphor, I don't know. But it was a really good launch to the campaign, and I think that she is a person of considerable substance. I think she'd be a very good leader of the opposition, and I think that it would also mark a move to National, for National, you know, to a party which could do what it does now. I mean, it's by far the largest party in the House, able to bridge urban and rural interests, but do so with definitely a more socially moderate flavour. She is by far more socially moderate and progressive than most other National Party MPs, so that could be interesting to watch.
Indeed. Thanks for that roundup. Now, you're talking about this collection of essays.
Yeah, I picked it up late last year, but it was it didn't quite make the sort of a holiday carry-on luggage limit, so I left it here and picked it up when I returned. And it's the Journal of Urgent Writing, Volume 2. And it's edited by Simon Wilson, who, among other things, has, you know, edited the Metro and Cuisine magazine, and more recently Spin-off magazine.
He did a very good job with Metro, has to be said.
He did a phenomenal job with Metro. I think he's a talented commentator. He is someone, whenever I see him, you know, on the telly or hear him on the radio, you know, I tend to pause. I tend to ask for kids to be quiet so I can actually listen to what he's saying, because I think he's a very thoughtful commentator. He does a wonderful essay in this about the need for radical centrism, about the need maybe to abandon sort of the right pursuit of the market and some of the excesses of the left ideologically, and take us back to a place where we can take a look at sort of a more pragmatic approach to New Zealand, but an approach nonetheless which seeks to bring about radical change to address some of the policies which have maybe failed in the past. So I highly commend his essay in it, but it really is, it's a wonderful collection of writing overall. I sent you a couple of essays to have a look at. What did you think of those?
Some homework. I enjoyed them both. They were quite different in approach. One was that, I've forgotten the titles already, but one was that memoir style essay.
Oh, the Morgan Godfrey one.
Morgan Godfrey one. That was probably my favourite of the two. I just think the memoir is such a great format for sharing historical ideas. You know, you place the personal narrative in the political one, and it's, What was the title of that Morgan Godfrey essay again?
That was I Saw the Mountain Erupt.
Mm.
And what I love about that title is straight away it's incredibly evocative, and then you realise it's based upon something the child saw, Morgan Godfrey saw in his dream as a child. And Morgan Godfrey, quite a few BFM listeners who are on Twitter actively and following New Zealand politics will know him. He's one of the more thoughtful commentators out there. He comes from a sort of a trade union and leftist background, but he's also an academic. He is one of the commentators on Māori affairs, again, who I've got an immense amount of respect for, and I learn from him. Quite often I will not engage in communication in terms of replies, apart from just liking what he's saying and then going away and doing homework based upon what he said. He is a very, very thoughtful writer. And what I liked about that essay was, you know, we've had a lot of governments, both Labour and National-led governments, which have said what we need to do is collect more data on people, and we can sort of put everything into a matrix and analyse it and produce the best outcomes. And he tells his family story. And it's a profoundly moving essay on the complexity of identity and how it defies easy characterisation. And what I liked about that is his father is a really compelling figure for the story.
Absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got, and by the way he introduces his father, where his father is introduced first as someone with this immense interest in athletics, and he's dragging the whole Godfrey family off, all the young boys off for long walks every weekend. And then the next layer you get shown of his father is that he is this phenomenal storyteller who will sit on the bed with the kids and tell them these amazing bedtime stories. And then it's revealed that his father was a patched up gang member.
Heavily tattooed and
heavily tattooed, and you just get a sense of there is this sharp moment where if it presented at first you would immediately lock into stereotypes, but he presents this loving and complex figure of a father who essentially is a stay-at-home dad because his mum was the one who was earning most of the money, who's this incredibly loving, you know, generally speaking, I mean he's a complex figure in the essay, and that's a credit to Morgan Godfrey's writing, but he overcomes stereotypes, and likewise his mum is you know, shown as someone with this tremendous potential, tremendous love for her family, but she was a teenage mum who married a gang member, even though she came from a background where, in Kawarau, where they were from a relatively privileged family. But he talks about the intricacies of how these families connect, and he talks about the intricacies of growing up in a community which was then ravaged by the sort of the changes in the economy in the late 1980s, and how the jobs for life disappeared, and how that impacted upon his family.
I think in terms of shedding some light on ideas around privilege, it's a fantastic essay, and it just made me think of this very daft Facebook meme that's going around at the moment with this little video clip about privilege. About, have you seen that, where you've got the people running forward and the people who are held back, and it's idiotic. I'd say turn that off if it gets sent to you, and go and read this essay.
Absolutely. I think in a few pages, and you know, my goodness, what a brilliant writer he is. It is so economical. I mean, essay writing, I think, must be one of the hardest forms of writing, because you're trying to convey, in his case, quite large ideas, but in a really compassionate, humane, complex way, which invites the reader into a world which is complex, but in such a way that the narrative is so compelling and so fascinating, you're utterly drawn into the story, and you come out of it thinking, what a remarkable family, what a remarkable individual. And in the moments in the essay when he's talking about when people would hear about his family, or when his dad would pick him up from school, and you know, this fully inked up sort of gang member would turn up from, you know, to pick him up in his van, and the other kids at school, Morgan Godfrey, obviously a very, very able academic at high school, would say, oh, I didn't think you'd come from a family like that. And, you know, the whole idea that, in fact, yes, everything you think about characterising people needs to be reviewed, and maybe we need to think about how we do that when we're, you know, looking at how the government does stuff as well. So I was really impressed. Unity Books will have it, Time Out Books will have it. Honestly, it's worth buying it just for that essay and Wilson's essay, but there's so much else in there.
That title again, The Journal of Urgent Writing, Volume 2.
Volume 2. And if I can just give you some sense of a diversity, well, I didn't send you because I read it after I sent it to you. You know, there's Sarah Lang, the New Zealand graphic novelist, who does a cartoon. So there's graphic novel excerpts in there, or cartoons in there. And she does a sort of comic strip about menstruation cups, and it's a conversation between two women, basically
moon cups.
About the benefits of moon cups. And having been around those conversations, I just thought she captured this moment, this slice of time conversation. It was such a, you know, it was beautifully captured.
Oops, sorry, that's how we're